Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Psalm 66, verses 8 through 15. What amounts to about one-third of the whole text of the psalm, pulled right out of the middle. The opening section is given over to a rejoicing in the past of what God has done, a recognition of God's saving acts and mighty works of old, particularly the bringing of the people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt and across the Red Sea into the Promised Land, with an emphasis on his ability to turn the sea itself into dry land, to deal with water, things that water cannot do. I mean, how can water do such great things as part and let people walk through on dry ground? Well, it can't, except the Word of God in and with the water has done these things, a foreshadow even there of the marvelous washing of regeneration and renewal by the Spirit we have given as promise in the Word of God and in holy baptism. From there, this remembrance of God doing this for Israel of old, the psalmist then begins to be concerned about his own situation, Israel's own situation. The scholars don't really know when this was, perhaps around the age of Hezekiah. You remember when Israel was threatened by Assyria to the north? But Hezekiah prayed. He returned to the Lord his God, who is gracious and merciful. And the Lord withheld his hand. He drew Assyria back and actually ended up destroying Assyria so that Judah continues on. That may or may not be the event the psalmist has in mind, but certainly it is a similar type of event in which Israel itself was brought low. Men rode over their heads. They were caught in a net. They had a crushing burden on their backs. They feared mightily for their lives. And yet, even as they were brought out of Egypt of old, across those waters into the Promised Land, so now they have seen, in this old covenant way, a deliverance from whatever threat had come upon them. And they are now able to rejoice. And what is their rejoicing but to continue in that covenant? To say that this altar and this ark, which sit in this temple, are not just here for our use or for our desire or because we've made up some idea. These are the actions of God to save mankind in this present evil age, and we will attune to them. We will find the words that are about them, and we will believe them. And what does that mean? It means to offer sacrifices, fattened animals, smoke, bulls, and goats, all those, well, good things of the old covenant, all of which likewise are foreshadows of a greater blood, a better blood than goats or bulls or even Abel or Joseph or Jonathan, a blood better than any man, but one man who is also more than man, our Lord Jesus Christ. The psalm concludes, knowing this foreshadowed salvation that is the forgiveness of sins purchased with spilt blood, the psalm concludes, come and hear all you who fear God, and I will tell what the Lord has done. I cried to him with my mouth. Truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. He has not rejected me forever, nor removed his steadfast love from me. In this world you will have trouble. But Jesus Christ has overcome the world. And that is not a promise that you will have an old covenant style perfect life now, that every army or threat in your life that rises against you will be taken away. God has never said he will not give you more than you can handle. You're going to get more than you can handle. You're going to die someday. But you can do so knowing that the real waters have parted anyway. The real blood has been shed anyway. Dying in Christ, you shall live. And whatever you lose in this life will be restored more than 100-fold in the life of the world to come. When you perform that final vow to the Lord as he says, be raised, be resurrected, and even from the grave, your lips will move and say, indeed, indeed, amen. And you will get up.